Welcome to Torah Timechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Meir Katz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Tehillim Perek Tzadi Bet, titled Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Now, every book that we are studying in our fourth Sefer of Tehillim, we have in mind our overarching question: how does mortal, finite human connect to an almighty, all-powerful, eternal God? Yesterday, in our Perek Tzadi Aleph, we explored the concept of bitachon, trust. Someone who trusts in God is assured of his protection. And we finished off, Orech Yomi must be over, Rebbe shall see. I'll satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. But now we have a question, because we can see in the world that there seem to be plenty wicked people who, to our eyes, appear very successful. So how do we reconcile that? So in this perek, the Malbim breaks it up into themes. He said, we are focusing on the idea of Hashem's constant supervision of the world. Sometimes the world seems to function according to natural laws, but a person with understanding can see Hashem's hands hidden in nature and in current events. And then in light of that, we're going to explore the success of wicked people compared to the success of righteous people. And now we have to ask the question, that sounds very nice, but what does that have to do with Shabbat? Because remember, the first line was Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. This is the Song of Shabbos, and it doesn't seem to have anything to do with Shabbos. So what we're going to do is we're going to explore the themes of the Perek, and then we're going to come back and see maybe a way to understand how this connects with Shabbos. Who wrote this Mizmor? So if we're going with our opinion that the first 11 Mizmorim of our Sefer, the first 11 songs of this book, were written by Moshe, this was written by Moshe when he was still a young man, living with Parah as a prince, and he saw the Jewish people enslaved and he wanted to make their lives a little easier. So he convinced Parah that the slaves would work better if they had one day off. And he arranged to give the Jewish people the day off of Shabbos so they could relax and rejuvenate, and he taught them this Mizmor to give them hope. But there's another opinion that says that this was written much earlier than Moshe Rabbeinu. It was written by Adam. Adam was created, and after him, Hashem continued to create until the split second that Shabbos came in. And once Shabbos came in and Adam saw the magnificent completed world, he burst out in song, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Not only that, but Adam was shown a vision of the entire history from his creation till the end of time. And he got to see how every event in history was important, everything connected, and everything had purpose until the ultimate goal of the world, where the entire universe recognizes Hashem Echad Ushemo Echad. Hashem is God, His name is one, and everyone recognizes Him. And again, he sang the song of Mizmor Shir. So there's two themes going on here. There is the theme of nature as expressed through the 6 days of the creation, but there's also the theme of Galut and Geula as seen through Adam's vision of entire history. So we're thinking of the world as we see it, both how we see God in seemingly ordinary events and how we try to find God in times of darkness, and we remember times that we've experienced miracles, and then we remember that Hashem is there. So we're keeping this in the back of our minds. And even the Gemara says that this song, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, a song for the day of Shabbos, Mizmor Shir La'atid Lavo, it's a song for the future, the great Shabbat of the future, when the whole world will be Shabbos. Okay, so we carry on with the second pasuk. Tov lahodot laHashem ulezamer leshimcha alyon. It's good to thank Hashem and sing out praises to your exalted name. So tov lahodot, lahodot is to thank or to acknowledge when it is obvious, where we see it right in front of our eyes and we can point, wow, this miracle, this miracle. Ulezamer leshimcha, we sing to God's name, meaning it might not be so obvious to me, but I'm recognizing Hashem's reputation of having saved us and things He's done in the past. So one is obvious and one is on faith. Then we go to the next pasuk. Again, this duality. Lahagid baboker chastecha, to declare your loving kindness in the morning, v'emunatcha b'lailot, and your faithfulness in the night. And it says, Rashi says, in the day is time of redemption. It's metaphorical for redemption. And night is galut, when we are longing for the geula. We believe that God will redeem us one day. Even the next pasuk of Alei Asor v'Alei Navel Alei Higon b'Chinor, with the music of a 10-stringed instrument, a lyre, and the melody on a harp. These are different instruments that evoke different emotions. Some is open, excited joy when we've experienced redemption, and one is more soulful when we need to stir ourselves to have emunah in God. Then we carry on. Ki simachtani Hashem b'fu'alecha b'ma'aseh yadecha aranein. God, you've made me happy through your deeds. I sing for joy about the works of your hand. So the Malbim differentiates between Lecha and between Bama Seyodecha. Pa'alecha is active involvement in the world, when you have an obvious miracle. Ma'aseyadecha is when you look at God through nature. So sometimes we see Hashem through obvious miracles and sometimes in a beautiful sunset. How great are your works? This refers to the 6 days of creation. Ma'od amku refers to the end of time, meaning we're still living in the story that has not yet ended. So we say, how deep and mysterious are your thoughts? We're not going to know it until the end of time. So these three verses are all talking about the two ways that we recognize Hashem, either through open miracles or through the trust because we've heard about miracles of the past, or if we meditate on nature and see Hashem's perfection through nature, then we can say that the same Hashem who made beautiful sunset is the same Hashem who's looking after me. But there are people who have an issue with this, and this brings us to Pasuk Zayin 7. Ish bar lo yada uchasin lo yavin etzot. The ignorant don't know this, and the fool does not understand this. What is the this that he doesn't understand? Either it's referring to what we said before, they look at nature and they don't see Hashem. It's happenstance, it's just a freak of nature. The splitting of the sea was a well-timed earthquake or whatever other interesting theories out there. They don't see God in the nature of the world and they don't see God in events. But others will say, yes, I can recognize Hashem in the magnificence of nature. I believe Hashem created the world. But why are there wicked people who seem to do so well? How could the same God who created such beautiful colors and pays such attention to every animal in the universe that it should receive its sustenance, but also created a Hitler and October 7th? How can I reconcile that? And it's a little harsh that the Tehillim calls these people ignorant and fools, because to be honest, I think most of us have such a question. And this is what the Tehillim segues in the next parak to answer. Pasuk Chet. Bifrach Rasha'im Kamo Esev. When the wicked are sprouting like grass, remember we said when we spoke about Perek Tzadi 90, we gave four different paradigms of the shortness of life, and one of them was grass that grows in the morning and is shriveled up in the evening. Now we know that that metaphor is talking about wicked people. We know people suddenly spring up to become overnight sensations. We've never heard of them before, and now everyone's talking about them, but they don't last very long, and very long is relative to history. History is thousands of years, so a short time could be weeks, months, a few years, at most a few decades, but not more than that, right? These wicked people don't last long. V'yotzitzu kol po'alei aven. All these evildoers seem to be popping up everywhere, but why? L'hishamdam ade'ad, so that they will receive their destruction, which means God is allowing them temporary success now so that they can use up all their merit and then achieve eternal destruction because they have no merits to save them. Now, the Maharal says something very interesting. You can tell the value of a creation by the time it takes to mature. For example, a chicken lays an egg and you can eat the egg that very day. But a human being takes 9 months to produce a baby, and that baby is still takes many years till it grows into an adult. It takes a long time to mature. It has much more potential, much more value. So the wicked, who have very little value, will show success very quickly. But we're going to contrast that to the righteous people in a few psukim time who take a very long time to flourish and grow, but their success is much more lasting. And here we have our middle pasuk, which connects the two themes, theme one and theme two. And this pasuk is Vata Marom La'olam Hashem. You, Hashem, are exalted for all time. Which means, yes, it looks like the wicked people are sprouting everywhere, but it's all under Hashem's supervision and Hashem's plan. It's not in spite of God, it's because of God. He's supervising, just like he's supervising the universe with nature, he's also supervising the growth of the wicked people. And now we carry on and we want to compare what happens to the wicked people to what happens to the righteous people. And we say, Ki hinei ovecha Hashem, ki hinei ovecha yovedu, yisporu kol po'al aven. God, as for your enemies, they will surely perish. All who do wrong will be scattered. The word ovecha, enemies, is repeated because the person who's saying this is saying, I've seen with my own eyes that enemies will be destroyed, and I've also heard from other people and learned from my Masorah, my tradition, about the destruction of enemies. And then we compare this now. This is the next section we spoke about before, what we see in the past. What we see in the past is we try and notice Hashem in nature. Sometimes we see Hashem through miracles. We're noticing the wicked people sprouting out, but we're telling ourselves that their success is short-lived so that they can use up their merits. And they're successful because Hashem wants them to be successful because it's part of his plan. Now we focus to the future, when all these events will one day play out and we'll be able to understand why everything happened the way it happens. And this is the period of Mashiach. So the next few psukim are describing the era of Mashiach. And we start, Vatarem kirem karni balosi b'shemen ranon. You raise my strength like a horn of a bison. I am wet with fresh oil. Now the bison, which comes from the ox family, is the symbol of Yosef, the tribe of Yosef. Each tribe had an animal as its symbol, and the symbol of Yosef was this wild ox or bison. So this is talking about the period of Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben Yosef will be the one who fights the wars, who rids the world of wicked people, and that's why he's brought right after this pasuk, talking how the wicked people will be destroyed. But that's just the first stage of Mashiach. The second stage of Mashiach is Mashiach ben David, who is a descendant from the dynasty of David. And we know that David was anointed with special oil to mark the beginning of his dynasty. So that's why the second part of the pasuk is, I am wet with fresh oil because I have been anointed with this oil. Vatabet ena b'shurai b'kami malai mere'im teshmi enazna. My eyes will see those who stare at me with menace. My ears hear of the wicked who rise against me. Again, this brings us back to yesterday's perek. Rak be'enecha tabit. We just look out with our eyes and we see the destruction of the wicked. And now we compare the success of tzaddikim, because now that the wicked have been destroyed, and now that we understand Hashem's plan, we can finally appreciate the greatness of the righteous people. Tzaddik katamar yifrach ke'erz balvan aniske. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They grow tall like a cedar in Lebanon. So two types of trees to describe a tzaddik. One is a palm tree, where every part of that tree is useful. Its fruit, its leaves, its bark. Every part of it is useful, because for the Jewish people, there are many ways to connect with God. It's not a cookie cutter. Some connect through learning Torah. Some connect through prayer. Some connect through ma'asim tovim, good deeds. But there are many ways we can connect to God. Whereas a cedar is a very strong tree, it's very enduring, and the Jewish people have endured all the thousands of years of history. Shetulim beveit Hashem b'chatzrot Elokeinu yafrichu. They'll be planted in God's house and bloom in the courtyard of Hashem. What this means is shasul is a type of a tree that has very deep roots, so that the roots can draw nourishment from different places if it's planted in a place where it might not have direct access to water. So we know that this world is compared to a courtyard, that's the word chatzrat, and the word world to come is the main hall. In this world, it's not our final destination, but it's the only place that we can earn merit. In this world, we have an opportunity to learn Torah and do mitzvot and earn reward, but we only actually enjoy that reward in the world to come. So the world where we enjoy our hard work is the next world, but the world that we earn our quote-unquote cash is this world. So the roots are deeply in this world, sucking up merits of learning Torah and doing mitzvot, but the fruit you can only see in the world to come. So that is this pasuk. Od yunavun b'seva d'shenim v'rananim yiyu. In old age, they'll be fruitful, they'll be robust and fresh. So we know many of our rabbis, even in their 80s and 90s, are still youthful and energetic and teaching. Think of Rav Shach and Rav Steinman, rabbis who in their old age were still such prolific writers and educators. Moshe Rabbeinu received unnatural youth and vigor once he took on the role of leading the Jewish people. And why will all this be? Lahagid ki yashar Hashem tzuri v'lav latabah. Each will declare that God is fair, saying, He is my rock, there's no injustice. Yashar means straight. Understand exactly why everything happened. We won't be able to say, why did this bad thing happen? Because it won't look bad to us anymore. There'll be no bad. Everything will look good, everything will be just, and we'll understand the purpose of everything. Now, what does this have to do with Shabbat? So, Shabbat is how we testify our emunah, our belief in God. Just to clarify semantics, bitachon is trust in God, emunah is faith. So, faith and belief. When we keep Shabbat, we're saying that we believe God made the world, that He created the world in 6 days, and He rested. But when God created the world, there was no one really there to see Him in actually creating. So how Hashem demonstrates the act that He created the world is through His mastery over nature. When the Jews were taken out of Egypt and Hashem did all the plagues, that was God's way of demonstrating His complete control over nature. That's why if you look throughout Shabbat, we have many references to creation of the world and many references to the taking out of Egypt, because both of those testify that Hashem created the world at the beginning of time. But not only that, Hashem is constantly involved in the events of our world. So here we see how it ties together our whole perek. We believe that Hashem created the world and we see Hashem in nature. We believe Hashem is constantly evolved in the world. Even though it looks like wicked people are successful, it's not real and it's not permanent. And ultimately, we'll see the success of tzaddikim, the righteous people, being much more long-lasting. We will understand Hashem's plan for everything, and we will realize that everything that has ever happened has been for a purpose and for good. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat, Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sherita Pleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.